This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome to Girls on Porn. I'm Rachel.
I'm Laura.
And we love porn.
This is our porn review podcast.
We talk about what we love and we roast what we hate.
Helping you find hot, ethical, just plain better porn for your spank bank.
And we're looking at everything. Today, we're joined by a very special guest, Aaron? I was so concerned about saying your last name.
Yep. Yeah, before the recording, she made a point to be like, am I saying the last name right? And then she went with Aaron for the first name, which was a twist. It wasn't what we expected, Rachel.
Let me try that again. We have a guest today, Aaron. I said it weird again.
Aaron. We're just never going to do the show.
People also just call me Blay. Blay might be easier for you.
Wow, I'm sweating. Blay. Aaron Blair. Christ.
It's just a name. Oh my. You guys talk about porn and you can't get a name out? Holy Moses.
We all have our insecurities. This is Rachel.
The thing is, I mispronounce things a lot on this show.
Got it.
And I get called out for it. So I sweat a little bit when it's like someone's
name. When she says
name.
I get called out by it, she means me being like, oh, that's not how you pronounce that specific kind of hentai.
And yeah. Got it.
Yeah.
Got
I don't it. Pronounce it much better, but right.
It's really vowels.
But she knows I'm wrong.
But I know that she's wrong, and that's worth saying out loud. So should we tell them who Blay is? Did we say that part yet?
We haven't yet. We haven't. No, we should. Okay, so Blay is a 2-time Emmy-winning producer and creator of the video game comedy series Clueless Gamer on Conan, which has amassed over 450 million views to date. Ooh. He is also the host of the podcasts Good Game, Nice Try, and Hear Me Out. Blay, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, ladies. I'm very
excited. So exciting.
And truly, thank you for creating Clueless Gamer. I love it. It's how I play video games, and I felt really seen by watching Conan play video. I was like, exactly. Like every time I'm in a fucking video game, I'm like, let's go check out what's over here. Like what's like let's go hang out with the butler in the kitchen. Like why do we have to shoot people?
Explain for our listeners what Clueless Gamer is, if they don't know.
Yeah, Clueless Gamer is basically a video series where Conan, who doesn't know anything about video games, tries to play. Video games. And it started because, you know, I pitch a lot of stuff on the show and I was just like, I'm dumb and Conan's smart. What can I be smart at that he'd be dumb at? He spent his whole life reading great books and, you know, and so I was like, oh, video games. And so,
for sure.
And it just really, it kind of blew up into this big thing. And, you know, I think for one of the reasons, Laura, like you were saying, one of the reasons is I think that a lot of people see a lot of people play games in that way, you know. Mm-hmm. I think like video games and porn. I think
let's
both
just go there. Let's just pivot right to
let's
that.
Well, that's what this podcast is about, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Oh
yeah.
No, sorry.
Okay. Oh, great. But no, video games and porn. I think both are kind of really interesting because they're both multi-billion-dollar industries.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That everybody interacts with in some way. Mm-hmm. But nobody really wants to talk about it. I mean, I think everyone is basically a gamer. My mom plays games. My nephew plays games. My sister, everyone plays games, but they don't self-identify as a gamer.
Right.
And I think it's a similar thing with porn. I think basically everybody watches porn.
Yeah. Nobody identifies as a porner. Like, what is that about? Yeah.
But I think people are in some way, porner. I think there's some shame or it's taboo or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know. We're not there yet with porn, but for video games, I think we're just starting to have people be proud that they play video games and talk about it openly. But that wasn't the case forever. So
I think this generation with like this wave of games and the like the fucking tournaments and the like massive size of the industry and the like Twitch of it all. Yeah. It's a whole new, it's a whole new world.
It's a whole new thing. And so, you know, the thing I'm most grateful for with Clueless Gamer is we hit upon this really great formula whereby it's the Venn diagram of people who don't play games and don't understand them, the people who absolutely love everything about games. And in the middle, it's for both people. If you don't like video games, you're watching the Resident Evil Clueless Gamer and you're like, Conan can't get past this chair. You know, why can't I just step over this fucking chair? I can't get, what the fuck, you know? Yeah. That's ridiculous. But also in the same gamer, you know, he's fighting this giant tentacle monster and you're like, oh yeah, he's using this cool new Prestige 6 flamethrower, you know? And then, so gamers love it too. So we kind of hit upon this really great formula whereby both gamers and non-gamers alike can enjoy it. And they're great. Yeah. And I love doing it. It's become this big thing where we do it with all these celebrities now, like Bill Hader and Tom Brady and all these great Ron Funches, all these great people. We did it like at the height of Game of Thrones with Peter Dinklage and Lena Headey, which was amazing. And I, you know, it's like there's moments in your life where you're like, what is happening? Where I had my arms in Peter Dinklage's armpits and I'm playing for it. It was just crazy. And then I went and watched Tyrion, his character in Game of Thrones, you know, do things. And I was just like, oh my God, it's mind blowing. So yeah, it's been really great. And it's led to Good Game, Nice Try, which is a great video game podcast I've been doing for Team Coco. And we have Justin Roiland on today, actually, which is really fun. And yeah, so it's great. So yeah, I love games and they're great. But I do think games and porn are kind of similar. Wouldn't you guys agree?
I would agree. I mean, that's interesting that you pointed out like kind of the shame and the stigma around it, because I remember in high school for one glorious summer, I worked at a cyber cafe.
Humble brag.
You know, no big deal. Bit of a gamer myself.
Flex.
But we had all these computers and we had, you know, like PlayStations and things like that. And people would come and play. And one time this like really like cool, like football player like came in and was like, hey, do you have any like, RPG games? And I was like, yeah, like, what are you looking for? And he was like, I'm looking for like, do you have World of Warcraft? And I was like, sorry? Like, he was like so afraid to say it out loud that he played. And I was like, yeah, dude, like, no big deal. Like, go ahead. It's like, you know, however much for a minute or whatever. But he was so embarrassed to say it. And I kind of like held on to that secret information and used
it. You held that over his head. Yes, yeah, for exactly.
Sure. I suddenly became very popular at school.
But it's Blake,
Do video games and porn intersect for you personally? Meaning like, do you watch video game porn?
No. And by the way, we can get into that now, or we can save it for the videos you guys sent me.
Yeah.
No, they don't. I have a thing and I want to get your guys' take on this.
Okay. Right? Okay. Cool. Okay.
So there's a new game called Resident Evil 8, Resident Evil Village. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's a very big horror game.
Heard of Resident Evil franchise, so sure.
Great, great. You kind of get it, right? Zombies.
Yeah, zombies. Okay.
For the most part.
Hot girl zombies.
Hot chicks and zombies and shooting them and I'm stuff. I'm into it.
Right. Hot chicks and zombies. This is my question. So the big thing in Resident Evil Village, when they're promoting it, is this big sexy vampire woman. All right.
Okay. She's giant? Is she a giant cat?
She is like 9 feet tall.
Okay.
She's thick.
She's like Amazonian. Yeah.
But
there's
also, and everyone's like, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm like, yo, that's not scary to me. I don't think, and this is what I want to talk to you guys about. I do not think you can have something be scary and sexy at the same time. And I'll go one step further.
Okay, keep going.
And say, I don't think something could be funny and sexy at the same time.
Oh.
They could be in the same thing, but you can't be scared and also be aroused.
Well, I don't think that's possible. They are very similar. What happens with your body chemically is very similar.
But not the same. I agree,
It's not the same, but it also, like, it lets your guard down so that way you can be, like, it's a big thing in horror movies, you know? Like, there's a lot of sex that happens.
I get it, but I'm just saying, I've never been running for my life and gotten a boner and been and like, wow, actually? I really just got to fuck. And that's never happened to me, and I don't think it can.
This is a really interesting conversation, because, like, I think what Rachel's getting at is really interesting, that they're, like, adjacent. Like, pain and pleasure are really close, and you, like, for a lot of folks, you want a total separation. Like, a lot of people do not want pain at all, like, associated with their pleasure.
Right.
And some folks really like that little Venn diagram crossover mm-hmm. where, like, there's a little pain and there's pleasure, and those things sort of feed into each other.
Yeah.
I think it's similar, like, if your adrenaline is up, it's kind of like to get into the sexy zone is kind of a fun thing. But I do think there's like a threshold for everyone individually. And I think that varies person to person in terms of like, I don't want to be scared shitless and somehow try to be turned on. But there's like, you can walk up to a certain line. It's almost like similar to how I enjoy rough sex or the notion of it. But if it gets too rapey, I'm like, I'm out of here and I'm like shut down.
Right.
I think there's a similar, like, because it's taboo or because it's a little scary or because it's whatever the thing may be, there's a certain line that, like, there's like a graph, right? Where it's like, ooh, it gets hotter and hotter. And then it's if it's too scary or it's too whatever, that it like shuts you down. It's like no longer fun.
Because there are things, you know, like I have like abduction fantasies and like rape fantasies, like knife play and things like that. Like being scared and being horny for some people is like the pinnacle, you know?
But is it? I mean, can you? This is my question, though. Like, because I understand, yes.
Yeah.
Both are, you know, like, you know, you're getting excited.
Right.
You know, you're flushed.
Blood
your
heart,
heartbeat. Right. Blood is flowing and all these things.
Yes.
I get that they're similar, but can it be at the same time? I don't think it can. Even for people, and this is my question. Even is it, so you like knife play, I don't even know what that is, but I'm guessing it's like, ooh, I got a knife, and here it is, around your face or something.
Exactly,
Okay, that's basically knife play. But but basically, like, right, but you're scared, but in that moment, are you also horny?
I think
it's
an apex, right? That's what I get is, like, I think it's where that intersection is. Like, my adrenaline's at 30%, my arousal's at 60%. They can't be 100% simultaneously.
Okay.
Like, they can't be flying off the charts simultaneously. Yeah, that's what I think it is.
That's my question. Okay.
But I think everybody has their own alchemy of like, I want to be a little bit scared. Right. I would also say about this like giantess character, all I know about is literally the link that our engineer just sent.
Lady Demistrescu or whatever.
She's cool.
She got a big old sun hat. She's cool.
Yeah. But I bet there's like a purposeful intersection there. Cause like giantess porn is really big and there's
oh my God,
yes. So there's something. Yes. People wanting to be crushed, wanting to be dominated, like this element of the woman being
swallowed.
Like, big and being able to like consume you. Like there is a sort of attraction to a certain kind of sub.
Yes.
Someone who wants to be dominated or wants to have that kind of like physical experience that I bet the video game is purposefully playing into that dynamic of this like big scary woman.
Mm-hmm.
Now you're saying that I guess that does make sense that they would be leaning into that. But here is my experience.
Right. Okay.
Which was I'm playing this game. And, you know, I gotta say, graphics are cool. You're in like this old mansion and, ooh, the lighting's great and all this shit.
Yeah.
I'm very into production value, which we'll get to again in a
second. Oh, we are but too.
Same. Yeah, yes. Yeah.
You got it. Okay. Anyway, and it's like, and they're like, and you're like kind of running.
Wait, saying
no, this? No, this is like her
minions?
Her fucking, her gang or fucking lady vampire friends or something.
Yeah. Okay,
and they're chasing you, right? Her whatever, book club or something. And you're running, you're like, it's like I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I was scared, but now she's like, I'm gonna catch you. And I'm like, well, now I'm not
like,
as
now
scared.
It's hot.
Maybe just catch me.
But is that purposeful or are they trying to
open
your
this door? I can't get the door open. You know, so it's, but that's what I'm saying is like, if it's a horror game, it's not doing its job because now I'm not scared at all. I'm laughing
and you're into it, and I'm horny, so it's like, just catch me.
Right. And yeah, if you kill me, fine. I don't care. But here's my other question, which is about comedy and porn.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right. Similar thing. I don't think you could be laughing and also just super horny. I don't think it works.
I would have the same answer that there's like a, if I'm aroused to the point where I want to have an orgasm, any comedy is not welcome. Like I can't, that part of my brain, I'm going into the primal part of my brain where comedy doesn't exist because comedy is the like complicated frontal lobe and not the like back dumb, like ape part of my brain.
Yeah.
Right. So like, I can't be 100% like ready to come and want a joke. Yeah. But if we're like leading up.
Read me a tweet. Yeah. So I can get off.
I'm so close.
Show me. Yeah.
But like a little like comedy is a great path towards like being turned on. Right. Like,
sure. If that, you can make them laugh, you can make them come.
Well,
yeah.
Also, you know, but I think you guys, I agree with what you guys are saying. And I think what maybe, and you tell me what we're all kind of stumbling towards is this idea of being emotionally open and vulnerable.
Yes. Yes.
Which mm-hmm. then allows us to feel good and sexy and get to yes. the, you yeah. know, primal reptile exactly. place. But
you got to let your guard down.
Right. Mm-hmm. But so both of those are cars were kind of, those are the driveways up to the house. But I think at some point you got to leave the car.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Continue,
sure.
Right.
I mean, even when you're watching things that are like insane parody porn, like at some point they drop it, you know, and then it's yeah. just porn.
And then it's just, yeah. then it's just sad. It's just like, oh, yeah. this is just sad. You should have come up with a better bit.
And they're just weirdly like still holding on to their like gloves or costumes. You know what
it's
I mean?
It's never good.
Which right, we'll get right. to when we talk
exactly,
about it. We can get to that later, videos, but let me just say right okay. up top, it's never good.
Yeah.
It never, no. I'm always
and
like, what do you
think? I'm curious to know if the people who do watch it just watch it for like curiosity or they're watching it to get off, you know?
I'm very curious about that as well. Like,
yeah.
what's the deal? Well, we'll talk about that later. But anyway,
I think
the emotionally vulnerable thing,
right.
opening up, like, I get that part. But,
yeah.
you know, this Resident Evil Village, man, I don't, mm-hmm. like, what do you got to make them sexy? Because now I'm not scared at all. It's like,
well,
ridiculous.
I think it's a tactic, right? Like, that's just like selling anything. And video games definitely do that, where they're like scantily clad women, you know, like
you know
Overwatch or like Fortnite. Was huge,
Grand Theft Auto.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, but all those games, I mean, yes and no. I think that maybe is a trope that's kind of not going away, but is like people are much more, it feels to me like in the industry, the last, let's say, 3, 4, 5 years, the game devs are becoming much more aware of that stuff and those tropes. And they are, it does feel like a lot of these things are female forward.
Right.
And they're realizing that, I mean, unfortunately, this is obviously speculation, but unfortunately, right. I think they're realizing, wow, we're just missing out on money because
yeah.
women
yeah.
don't want to play
there
these games.
There are women who want right. to play games. Like,
but whatever the reason is, I think we are getting away from that in a big way. I mean, you look at a game mm-hmm. like The Last of Us 2, which is, you know, female, very... Queer
love story, right? In the Last of Us 2, yeah.
Yep, queer love story, and which also in The Last of Us they had this DLC content you could do, which was really great. And Ellie, it was her first kiss with another girl.
You know, I've talked about this at length, but
really
I sound
great.
Like I know about video games.
I'm like,
but
what's
I just have,
going on?
Yeah. I just have a friend who loves Last of Us enough to like tell me about the first kiss and the like.
Really great.
Queer
really
storyline in the sequel, I guess I should call it. Well, this is an interesting conversation because I have some like research around this.
Do it.
So Among Us has like, so Fortnite is huge in the porn world. Mm-hmm. Overwatch is huge in the porn world. Although specifically the makers of Overwatch have like gone after the content and taken it down. They do not want their video game to be like pornified.
Sure. But it's shocking how much, especially Overwatch, right?
Yes.
Is the one that has the most, yeah.
Yes.
I mean, that's just probably by virtue of it being one of the biggest games in the world.
Yes.
Okay.
And I think part of that, like, bump is, like, we see, like, porn reacts to whatever is in the zeitgeist, you know?
Yeah.
Like, literally on Mother's Day, MILF searches spike.
Sure.
In Pornhub's 2019 year in review, we found that Super Mario ranked as the fourth most popular game character search, increasing 96% since 2018, with Nintendo's Zelda taking the number one spot. And that's because it was around the 35th anniversary of Super Mario. And there was a ton of like press about Mario, the franchise. So
that's interesting.
Yeah.
It's weird to me. I think the interesting thing there is, you know, those characters are cartoons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which is weird. Like, you know, there's the famous, like, what am I thinking of? Like Edward Penis Hands, parody.
Sure.
Or
mm-hmm.
Star Wars, which I'm sure they did, like, I don't know.
A thousand parodies.
Schlong
yeah.
Wars or something. But, and so I get, and that is all like, okay, because those are people. That's what's always interesting to me about when, like, you're saying Super Mario or Zelda, because those are not... people.
Humans?
Those are not,
right.
Yeah. There's a whole
but
kind
there's
of video.
Also tons of like Frozen and like Lion King
sure.
porn, you know,
yeah,
like
same, all, I similar thing. I also don't really get that either. I mean, yeah. The thing is, there are these games that are FMVs, which are full motion video, which is like real people in a game.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, but none of those are popular enough. I mean, do you guys think that it's, why do you think that is? What do you think that's a result of? Is it just people looking up porn because it's, they just want to experience their favorite thing again in a new way? Or mm-hmm. where do you think that comes from?
I think it's people are spending a lot of time, obviously, with these characters and having, like, you know, some sort of emotional connection or sexual connection with these characters. And they wanted to see them in various states of undress, seeing them get, like, ramrodded from behind. Like,
yeah.
And it's also the porn that is being made is, like, the animation is, like, so well done, like, with some of this stuff. Like,
yeah.
The Overwatch porn, it's, like, really stunning. Like, it's but like there's obviously so many problems with it because, like, it's, you never see who, like, the penetrator is. Like, these bodies never have, like, clitorises. Like, they have, like, in their bodies are, like, super flexible and bent in all these, like, unrealistic ways. But yeah, I think it's just people being at home horny with these characters all the time and being like, I want to see them.
And I do think it's like exposure and just the Venn diagram of, like, I was horny while I was playing video games. What would happen if I explored that?
Right.
I also think some of this, like, goes back, like, especially with, like, animated characters or certain, like, watching The Simpsons fuck, like, by which we literally had to do in a recent episode. Yeah. And by no means do I ever want to have to do that again.
No,
but
thanks.
I think in some cases it's also just, like, sometimes a tie to early sexuality, like, so, like, I think part of it is, yeah, like, is sometimes sexuality being unlocked around, like, Disney characters like Jasmine and Aladdin and being like, why am, sure, I turned on by Dimitri from Anastasia?
Right.
And
right,
that just, like, translating for porn consumption into sometimes cartoons can be, like, attractive. And the last thing I'll say about it is I think there's also an element of, like, exaggerated physicality. Like, this is why hentai is tremendously popular. It's like, there's this exaggerated physicality that, like, kind of takes you down the sort of rabbit hole of arousal of, like, oh, now I just want to see these, like, massive tits because,
sure,
that's something about that is even more fun than, like, the gritty, like, realism of amateur porn, for example, yeah, like, at the other end of the spectrum.
That's interesting. Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, I also, when I looked up, like, the most popular video game characters that were searched for on Pornhub, like, some of these video game characters have the, like the traits of, like, porn tropes, you know?
Oh, yes. Sure.
Yeah, like, yeah. May is has, like, a BBW vibe, you know? Like, Mercy has, like, a MILF vibe because she's got, like, her hair up and she's got, like, little bangs down. Like, there's, like, Bowsette is, like, obviously there's, like, some femdom happening there. And, like, Ada Wong, also some femdom. Like, all of these, like, you know, Lara Croft is just horny in general,
yeah,
you know? And, like, I don't know what I think Super Mario is just, like, what every man is in porn, you know? Like, they don't really have a trope. They're just a man, you know? They're just a guy. Like, it's just some guy with a mustache and he's fucking everyone. Like, that's literally what men are in porn sometimes.
It doesn't, I guess it doesn't, it's interesting, Laura, you made the good point about, like, the Disney character parallel and that being maybe, like, a first crush or something when you're young.
An early tingle in your mingle, if you will.
Yeah.
Although I don't know. I guess that tracks with, like, a newer game. Let me just say for myself, I've never been playing a game ever and been like, I want to see these characters fuck ever. I've never. If
really?
Anything, it's been like, I want to murder this character because I can't get past this level.
No. But you, like, know, you never wanted to fuck Lara Croft? You've
no.
never.
Really?
She I would want be a, to fuck Lara Croft.
Yeah,
I
don't play video
no.
games.
She She's would not. Be a character because I can't get past this ravine or something. And I would be like, God damn it. You know?
Oh,
she's
sure.
more like my ex-wife. Who I just like, I never want to see you again. I never want to talk to you. I hate you. The last thing I want to think about when this game is off is you. I just want to not.
That's
so
really
it's
funny.
The opposite for
That's
me.
Funny too, because I like having not actually played, like, as far as I've gotten in Tomb Raider is the like pre-game thing where you're at her house and you're training and the sure. butler follows you around. Like I literally, this is a callback to the beginning of the show, and I was like, should we just hang out by the pool with the butler? Like I led him into a fridge and locked him in the fridge.
Oh,
and that
yeah.
was like okay. what I did in the game.
Right.
So I'm like, I'm Lara Croft. Like we're good buds. Like we just
yeah.
play in our pool and we play in our jungle gym and we're, you know, we'd fuck maybe like, why not?
Yeah. There's obviously infinite examples of right. men wanting to fuck female video game characters.
Yeah. Like, oh my God, yeah.
Like, Rachel, what would you say?
I feel like you're the anomaly in that, but.
Well, I got gray hair and I was 14. I mean, the anomaly in a lot of things, but. But Rachel, what would you say, like, what is, from a female perspective,
yeah.
what are some video game characters that you think women sexualize? Like, oh, Nathan, God. And maybe you don't know enough about video games, but like
yeah.
Nathan Drake in Uncharted, would that be something? Or,
which, like, I mean, majority of
flip?
These.
Does it flip is my question.
I don't know if it does. I think it's mostly these are being searched for, like, male users, you know, like, yeah. because it's majority, it's like Zelda is the number one. It's not Link, you know, Link yeah. doesn't even make the cut. The only person who's on there is Super Mario, which again, yeah, it's, I think, like, it's just because he's a general
that mustache.
Male.
Yeah.
He's
great. Very
the
virile.
Male we have. Yeah, yeah. I think it's like a demographic inside of a demographic. Like, if yeah. you're like talking about how both these industries are marginalized to a certain extent, they're also both industries that are conventionally almost exclusively for the male gaze, and who are, like, both industries
right.
are shifting now to be more inclusive of these, like, new markets for
right.
women and whatever gender of person. So I think it's hard to say, like, who's the character, because it's so new that
right.
like there's a small market of, like, women playing these video games. You might be like, ooh, I'm into this character.
Right.
And then an even smaller market of, like, the intersection of the women that play those games and then also want to watch porn and want to see mm-hmm. these characters in porn. But someday
maybe.
We can dream.
Yes.
maybe. I don't know that I agree with that. I think because I do think there are, again, like, there are a lot of women who play games. A
yes.
lot.
Right.
And
yeah.
So I don't know necessarily that it's a demographic issue. I think it might honestly just be guys like to are more aggressive sexually. And maybe, by the way, this is a complete generalization, so I can
yeah.
you guys tell me if I'm wrong or not.
Have you met
like,
us?
Yeah. But guys just they see a thing, they wonder if they could fuck the thing.
Yeah. Okay,
hey,
yes.
Wow,
yeah,
I'm in a park. Look at these beautiful trees. I wonder if I could fuck it. You know,
yes.
like
yes.
it could just be that kind of a thing. And by the way, don't try to fuck a tree. The bark really hurts. I'm not you know, maybe possibly
given
speaking
out
from personal experience,
right.
possibly, you know, just rub up against it, find a birch or something with smooth
right.
trunk.
Yeah.
Don't try to fuck a tree out there, kids. But you know, that being said, so
right.
maybe it's that. I don't know necessarily, because I do think, and this is something I really do want to get out there, lots of women are playing games. That
yes.
is, no longer are we, video games are a male thing. Like,
yeah,
women
male
are gamers. They're,
right.
they're making
yeah.
great games.
Just like a lot of women
games.
Are watching porn.
That's mm-hmm. right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Video games.
I would
porn,
bet that
similar.
Those stats are similar. You know,
yeah.
like we've seen, like, numbers of, like, female consumption of porn
yeah.
increasing in recent years. I would think that, like, I don't even remember what the current percentage is, but I would think that those are on similar
it's around, like,
trajectories.
30%.
Yeah. I
30%
thought I remember
like
30%.
Yeah.
Would that
yeah.
sound similar to, like, the current market of women out of the full, like, scope of video game playing population, that it's like 30% women at this point and rising?
I mean, honestly, I would say the numbers
higher.
Is higher. It's hard for yeah. me because now, since Clueless Gamer started, I'm so much in the video game world. So it's
mm-hmm.
kind of like I'm at the bottom of the ocean looking up. But
yeah.
I think, but yeah, I mean, it does seem like it's a lot. I mean, and also, like, the other cool thing is, I think one thing that I really love about video games is the culture around video games.
Mm-hmm.
And for the most part, like, there is still some incel stuff of guys being
sure.
just garbage, trash humans.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I think the culture around video games, when we're talking about that, I'm talking about cosplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, we're talking about Dungeons and Dragons, which is kind of a similar tabletop
yeah.
game
yeah,
and that
yeah.
stuff. And, like, you know, on Twitch, I stream on Twitch every night. And so I've gotten, like, for the past year and a half, that's kind of what saved me during the pandemic, is, like, these 2-hour streams every night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On Twitch, which is really great. And so I've gotten into that Twitch community, and the amount of women on there is fantastic, playing
yeah.
games. But it's really interesting to see, you know, the live stream chat and
yeah.
how people react.
Yeah.
And over the past year and a half, I have noticed a lot less toxic comments coming
from
chat. Oh,
wow. Even in the last year and a half, you've
even
seen
in the last year and a half,
because
really Twitch has exploded in the last year and a half, because it's
mm-hmm.
not just video games anymore. One of my favorite channels is Sharp Balloons, and it's just a woman who makes awesome balloon animals and stuff, and she's fucking unreal. Like,
wow.
Also, another one is what's it called? Tacos of War. And it's just a duck cam of ducks in a river. And it's great.
Wow.
But it's called Tacos at War?
Yeah, Tacos of War. But like, wow. People like Sasha Gray, sure. she's playing games all the time.
Yeah, she's big in the Twitch world these days.
There's this other, Andrea, I want to say Chesnick, Chechnik.
I don't know this woman.
Andrea, whatever. She's got like whatever she's on there doing like... And people are pretty respectful, and it's been really cool. But even the past year and a half, it's kind of the toxicity has gone down a bit, which is cool. So
That's
great. So I would say more than 30% though. It feels like high.
And I mean, climbing, I'm sure. You know, we're closing that gap.
And if you're a woman out there who doesn't play games, play games. They're great.
Yeah,
give it a shot. Yeah,
they're fantastic. They're the best thing ever.
Yeah,
a new art form.
Should we do the showdown?
I think we should.
Okay, cool.
So what? Okay, so what's the showdown?
Okay, so what we do is we type in video games into Pornhub, to be fair.
And a major aggregate, usually Pornhub.
And Pornhub, by the way, Pornhub is like owned by a company that owns a lot of sites, right?
MindGeek owns 90% of aggregate porn. They own like...
That's crazy.
And they even own the like many of the production companies you see on Pornhub, like Brazzers and like all that. Like,
do you think that hurts the industry that it's under such a monopoly?
Yes, we do. Yeah. We talk about it quite a
bit. What's the worst thing about it?
I mean, it skews the algorithm. You know, they're in charge of like what gets buried, what gets seen.
Oh wow!
You know,
so they're kind of like Facebook. They're kind of like the Facebook of
They also don't, they've gotten better. There was actually a big shift in that they required verification of users and profiles, meaning what that did is it cut down a lot on pirated content. Because one of the most harmful things, obviously, like sex trafficking is a huge concern. If you don't know where something is coming from, it's hard to know if it's safe or if the performer or the person in the video is safe or what they consented to or if they freely consented. But then also there's an issue of pirated content, which robs the performers. And if you're not paying for your porn, like it's like watching the YouTube clip of the movie as opposed to having a Netflix subscription. So it just takes money out of the pockets of the creators and the performers.
Yeah. So you guys, for the people out there watching porn, what's the easy fix? What's a way that people watching porn can support the performers, but also make sure that their porn is coming from not a bad place.
Buy directly from the performers is the biggest thing.
So you guys like OnlyFans? Is that
ManyVids?
Kind of like,
OnlyFans, ManyVids. Some performers have Patreon, although Patreon is very anti-porn. But that is a way that you can sometimes support their content. And then we just talk about sites all the time. Like the ones that
every episode we plug a site that we say you should pay for this subscription. It's worth it. You know.
Yeah. But the best thing you can do is go direct. Like if you have a favorite performer,
go direct
to their OnlyFans or whatever they're plugging on their Instagram or what have you. They'll tell you where to go.
Yeah. Cool. Support their work.
Yeah.
All right. Great. All right.
So back to the showdown. We're going to read
showcase
these titles.
Showdown. Let's do it. Let's talk
about them. You want to start, Rachel?
Great. GF swapped a video game for my cock. Dick for Lily.
Wait, what am I supposed to do here? Wait, what are the rules? Can somebody explain what's happening?
It's not a video game. There's no competition. There's no way to win the showdown. Okay. I know the showdown makes it really sound like it's a competition, but
it does.
Really,
I mean, a showdown is a term of like...
Yes, is a gamer term. Like, you're going to win this somehow. But really, you just say what's in your heart. Whether you hear the title, we just talk about like what the fuck does that mean or what is happening. So,
oh,
for
it's kind
example,
of like one of the, I just I'm supposed to. It's like word association.
Sure, whatever you want. You're thinking too hard.
You're too hard.
Never been accused of that before.
You're trying to win at this, but really, you can just react organically.
I just want to entertain.
Just trying to win.
I don't want to win. I just want to not disappoint. I just want a classic comedian. Just afraid of disappointing. Okay, so wait. Okay, so you say a thing, and then
just
tell me what to do.
And then we just genuinely dissect what we think it is, or what is problematic about it, or what's fun. So, for example, Rachel just said, you swapped your game for your dick?
GF swapped a video game for my cock.
So...
Okay.
So the notion is where was the video game that was swapped out? Because I'm so old school that in my mind, it's like... one of those cassette style, it's like an 8-track style game, and you're like jamming a dick into like a video game.
What video game do we think she really wanted that she like swat? Like, and also it's your girlfriend, you know? Like, she isn't just freely taking
her
call.
Or what we're meant to believe is that she's like holding the video game controller and we swap the dick out and she's button mashing his cock. Is that
what's
happening?
Maybe that's it. I don't know.
Honestly, also, like, dicks are disappointing. And I think, like, you'd have to, it'd have to be a real shitty video game to, like, swap out a dick and then be fine with it. You know? Like, I don't know that I would, like, what would be a dick that I think would be, like, better than a game? I'm trying to think of, like, the worst games I've ever played. And it's kind of like, even a terrible game is better than a dick, which is, like, weird scenario. Looking and, like, probably, I don't know if it's been washed lately.
Wow, spoken like a true cishet man.
You're spoken also true describing cishet man.
I don't even know what that means.
Cisgendered heterosexual.
Oh, got it. Okay, sorry. Yes.
It's 2021, Blay.
Why do you know the lingo? I'm sorry. I support it. I just don't know. I'm dumb. Blay dumb. Okay. Also, the idea here is what? Also, she swapped the game. Okay, we don't know. So what we're made to believe is this person's penis is shaped like a Nintendo Switch. And so we just put it in there. It's flat and it has buttons on it.
Maybe.
And like she was like, wait a second. I'm not doing it. Oh, it's a dick.
Yeah.
Right? Yes. Okay. Got it. Uh-huh. All right.
I like in your narrative too, she struggled to be like, what's happening with my video game?
Right.
Like it took her a good minute. What happened to Animal Crossing? Yeah.
Lazy title writing. Yes. Lazy premise. You know that video doesn't live up to the promise of the premise, which is
exactly
someone shocked. Like they thought they had a game and now they have a dick. So I lazy premise. I'm sorry. I don't buy it.
Okay. I got another title for us.
Okay.
Small gamer girl teaching how fucks while she plays Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Oh, teaching how fucks.
Well, first of all, let me just say, Starfront Battlefront 2 had a whole loot box system with microtransactions. And so that was a real bummer.
Not your game.
I didn't like that game. Okay. They did patch it to I think, take out the loot boxes because it was ruled, I think, that it was gambling. So I got to say, right off top, not choosing, this gamer girl, whoever she is not choosing a great game.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that
puts you off. She's also small, which could be a flag.
Yeah.
Why? He's like, she's
small gamer girl. Yeah, they just have to give us the detail that, like, she's a tiny girl and she's playing a game. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, also, like, Look, I mean, Star Wars is a nostalgic. If you're playing Battlefront Star Wars, that's a nostalgic experience. I don't want to interrupt anyone.
I know.
while they're doing that,
let them live their fantasy.
Well, have you guys played? Like, are you guys Star Wars fans or no?
Yeah, a little bit for sure.
Okay.
I don't think fan would be the right word. Like, okay. I have watched, but I don't. Like,
I enjoy.
I'm not invested in the universe.
Are you a hater? Or are you indifferent?
No.
Okay. Like the universe, you're indifferent.
I feel fine about it.
Yeah.
Great.
Okay, so
I gotta say, just as a fan of Star Wars,
mm-hmm. yes,
not a huge fan. I would give myself a 6 out of 10.
Mm-hmm.
Battlefront is a pretty fun game. You got lasers. Every once in a while, you get to be like a champion, like Darth Vader or something. So if she's also teaching someone how to fuck while playing that game, I'm gonna kind of be like, look,
you're not invested, bitch. Yeah,
you're not invested. Yeah, and that's kind of disappointing. So.
It is.
You know, and if you're not invested in this game and you're playing it, then how, like, the kind of instruction, pick one or the other. I'm just saying it's a reflection on the kind of sexual instruction you're going to get from her.
If she's
playing a game she's not passionate about. How is her lovemaking going to be? Probably also not passionate.
Right. Yeah. It's like pick one mm-hmm. activity. You can't do
or
both.
Just pick a game that you're really into, because then I'm like, well, she's probably also the way she's going to teach me how to fuck is probably going to be also very passionate.
That's a very excellent point.
Yeah. So I'm just saying the game is reflecting the kind of teaching she's going to do. And I don't think the teaching's going to be good because I don't think the game is good.
Wow.
So really the key to your heart is to pick the correct video game. That's
now, the key
saying.
To my heart is being passionate about what you're doing. Because
time is the
ultimate currency, ladies, on this earth. Time is the ultimate currency. And how you spend your time, that ultimate currency, says a lot about you. It reflects how you are truly inside. Not the image that you're projecting.
Right.
But who you are inside. So... You know what I'm saying? If you're wasting your time with something that's bullshit, then that says that you don't really care about stuff, and I don't really want to have sex with you.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's a lot from that porn title, I know, but, you
know. But, I mean, you're doing, I just want to let you know that you're doing really good at the search term
yes.
showdown right
Thanks
now.
Thanks a lot.
You're crushing
You mean the showdown? You guys called it a competition thing.
Well,
we're going to play search term competition, but guess what? It's not a competition.
What did it used to
that's
be called?
Exactly what it,
search
it was called,
term battle, but we don't battle. We just
it used
talk
to be called
it.
Like the homepage hoedown.
It did. It was. That was,
it was
what
the
it was called. It was called
hoedown.
The homepage hoedown.
Y'all need to find Jesus and get better with titles.
Jesus? I don't think Jesus is going to help us with our titles.
You serious?
Jesus.
He had some good, Revelations? Leviticus? The motherfucker could title some shit. That's all I'm
saying. Wrote the Bible?
I don't know. I think they tried to write it in a Jesus style.
I don't think the Bible has a lot of alliteration, and that was what we were going for.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. So, is what it is.
All right. This is something, actually, this next one, this is like something that I feel like I found a lot in the porn video games. Yes, suck me while I play video game.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's a common thing.
There's two forms. There's the multitasking, like, we're going to fuck with the video game. And then there's also the, like, I'm the distracted person playing the video game.
Yeah, and that just reminds me of college. You know, like, that's just what I'm getting.
Where I'm sitting around watching a boyfriend play video games.
Yeah, when I'm, like, sucking my boyfriend's dick while he's playing Halo and he's high and he's been ignoring me for 3 hours.
Yeah. I never did it simultaneously. Somehow that was too much. I was willing to wait out the video game for the sex, but I was not willing to be like, oh, yes, I'll pleasure you while you do what you're doing. Like, no.
I'm a people pleaser. What can I say?
Presence. I'm with you guys on this one. That just feels like, you just need to kind of re-examine what you're doing in that relationship. Exactly. I agree with that. Also, like, again, it really gets my goat. I'm sorry to use such language on this show. It really gets my goat when I'm like watching a movie with somebody and they're on their phone. You know, let's watch a movie or beer on our phones. What are we doing here?
I feel like I'm sensing a theme here of like presence and like choosing, like if you're spending your time on something,
emotional honesty, communication, absolutely. Yeah.
Living in the moment. Sure.
Which is all we got. That's all that exists is the moment. Yeah. You know?
Okay.
Wow.
I got one last title for us.
Live, laugh, love, guys. Live, laugh. And if we're lucky, love.
I'm going to have to ask you to leave for that one. That's
you know what?
Too far.
I did stop myself from saying the now is all we have. That's why it's called the present. It's a present. You know, like that thing that's on a fucking board you buy at Bed Bath & Beyond. But I didn't. I want you to know. I didn't.
Did you buy that board at Bed Bath & Beyond?
I see it behind him.
I see it behind him on his wall.
Is that a live, laugh, love pillow?
Blay. Yeah.
No, it's sad, cry, scream to the heavens. Why? Okay. Here we go.
Okay,
Let's see.
One last title. I feel like I know how you're going to feel about the conceit, but I'm mostly curious about the game. Okay. I want to play with your dick while you playing The Witcher 3 cream pie.
Witcher 3 is a complicated, deep game.
Oh,
I mean,
just
the crafting menu alone has like 8 pages of making potions and spells and enchanting things. Yeah, and so that's not a game you want to be in it. And so, no, you don't want to do that other stuff.
Oh, well, okay.
Again, it's like, does it have to be at this? I don't understand it. Like, who's watching this video? Who's like, I want to play The Witcher and get a cream pie?
People are into that.
It's a great piece of art. It's like, I want to look at this Rembrandt and get finger blasted. No, look at the Rembrandt.
But some people like that. They like, you know, the
I'm just saying,
multitasking of it all, you know?
I'm just saying, can you truly appreciate a work of art while getting finger blasted, while getting your butthole touched?
Hey, depends on who's finger blasted me, you know?
Okay, depends on the work of art, too. Exactly. Like, I feel like I could look at a Rembrandt because I feel like that's actually not taking up...
Could be who's finger blasting me. You know what I'm saying?
Touche. Like, well, in that case, stop staring at the Rembrandt. You know, but maybe that's what Rembrandt intended. I don't know. Right? I'm not good at art history.
He's like,
maybe he wanted finger blasting to happen. Who knows?
As an art historian, I can say with great confidence that Rembrandt wanted you to be fucking while taking in his work.
Rembrandt or
just kidding.
Rembrandt.
I'm not an art historian.
Uh-oh. Rembrandt, everyone. Well, for that.
I'm really glad we have a pun. I have one last one for you guys.
Okay.
Live, laugh, love.
And I have to tell you guys that I did end up clicking on it and watching it.
Okay.
Gamer girl fucked by 6 dildos in exchange for Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Ooh. Now, wait a second. Question.
Yeah.
When was this video posted? Because it was hard to get Animal Crossing in the beginning, I believe.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a little bit old.
Honestly,
I think it's a transactional.
Right.
I think that's just smart business. And she's just sex work for games.
I liked it because it's like this girl, she's literally playing like Animal Crossing and she's like, you know, she's like legs out, like with her like knee high socks on, and like her boyfriend starts like playing with her like vulva with a Hitachi wand, like getting her excited. And like she's playing the game throughout the whole thing. And he like takes her panties off and he starts like, you know, like working her clit and like starts like putting in all these different, like goes through like each of these dildos and like eventually like makes her come. And she plays the video game throughout the whole thing. It was hot. I was into it.
Okay. Here's Blay. We're going to explain something to you here.
Okay. Yeah.
Here's what's hot about this.
Yes.
Is the notion of like resisting an orgasm or being like, you can't make me come. There's like a different kind of challenge in that that is hot.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, I hear you on the like presence and like, ultimately put the game down and fuck. Okay. But it's almost like the tension of needing to earn that moment where I go, oh, I want to give all of my attention to
release. It's a release.
To this sexual thing is a like, this has to be good enough to pull me away from the other thing. Okay.
Right. It's a challenge. Yeah.
Like, it's a challenge.
Game on.
Yeah.
Like try
different
to put,
kind of game.
Maybe put this game down, you know?
So wait a second. Could you read the title again for a second?
Gamer girl fucked by six dildos in exchange for Animal Crossing New Horizons.
Okay, so here's my question on this. So it sounds like she already got the Animal Crossing game before she was fucked by a single dildo.
The title belies what actually happens. Yeah.
Right. So that, okay.
The title is clickbaity and misleading.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
The title is like transactional sex promise. And actually what's happening is she's just playing the game and then the sex is fun.
So not a good title. I will say like to get like a PlayStation 5 or something when it comes out. I mean, look, I'll go to great lengths. You know, I remember when the Wii first came out, couldn't get that shit at Target. Now, you know, people sleeping out overnight. What's a couple dildos if you're going to get a free Wii? So that's kind of why I liked the title. The video, I understand what you're saying about like, I guess like not coming and then coming is like a big thing, which is great.
Right.
I'm not a big fan of Animal Crossing. It just feels like the thing. Here's why I don't like Animal Crossing, because it just feels like real life. Like now I've got a mortgage to Tom Nook. Yeah. And I gotta like make money by fishing and doing all this fucking shit, and I'm paying him money.
Of course.
Like, so I started playing that game, and it just like made me crazy. I was like, "What the fuck?" So I don't think
You'd happily put the game down and have sex instead,
right?
I will happily put the game down and walk across broken glass. I mean, like, I don't like that game. So I don't quite, it's hard for me to get in that headspace. She's like having a great time playing Animal Crossing there. I don't agree with the premise agree. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I that's kind of my take on it, but
fair enough.
You know, people love Animal Crossing. So good for her. Right.
And did she
how is it at the end? Did she finally get off at the end?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Did she pay back Tom Nook or no? We don't know.
I think eventually she put down the game. You know?
Okay. So we never actually found out how the game went.
The game was put aside for the sex.
Possibly a prop. Was the game maybe just a prop?
Okay.
So I don't like that either.
But I think
which we'll get into in the next section.
Ignoring people is a big turn on to watch, you know?
Oh,
like,
trust me.
You know,
I've dated. I know how that works. I understand how ignoring other people is a real turn on for a lot of people in Los Angeles. So you're speaking my language now.
Amazing. And with that, we should take a break.
Yeah.
This HeadGum Podcast is brought to you by Auraframes.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Auraframe.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Auraframes are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Auraframe, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
First video we're going to talk about, video games and lesbian panty stuffing from Go Ask Alex. We found this on her many vids. It features Go Ask Alex and also Margot Bones. Similar premise to the video we just were talking about in the showdown, actually.
Yeah.
She's playing her Switch, and someone's like, hey, Margot's like, hey, don't.
Someone wandering through.
It's like, hey.
She's
like,
on the side of a highway. So yeah.
I mean, with that flannel, she could be. I don't know.
We're ripping into the flannel
she
now.
Walks, sorry, but like, what are we doing here? She wanders in and she's like, what are you doing? You should be hanging out with me. Like, I'm like, you know, like, give me attention. And she's like, what does it look like I'm doing? I'm playing Switch. I am hanging out with you. And I have to say that that shit pisses me off. Like, when you're like, when you're with someone and they're playing a video game and they're like, yeah. I am hanging out with you. It's like, no, you aren't.
This isn't QT. This isn't no, quality time.
Aren't. What are you also- doing?
Happens to be playing Animal Crossing, so here we are.
Right.
So I feel like immediately Blay is on Team Margot and not on Alex's team.
Right. You're like, well,
I don't think that they're teams. I think that I agree. Presence is not presence. You know, like you're there, but you're not there.
Yeah.
Let me just say, can I just say an overarching thing?
Yes, please.
Of course.
About both of these videos, because we're gonna come back to this. Thank you very much. Back to this in the next video as well. But one of the things I can't stand just in life is people who are disingenuous. I love things that are genuine. And I think both of these videos cut to the core of why I hate this kind of thing, because it's not a real thing. They're just using the video game as a prop.
Right.
It could be anything else. Insert a book, a newspaper, you know, one of those fucking paddle boards with the, you know, tiny, you know, ball you play on the beach. Bad example. But my point being, like, so I don't like that. So it's clickbaity. What are we doing? Like, fuck off.
Right.
Fuck off. Don't abuse my video games like that. You know, don't do it. Like, make it part of the plot. Make it an integral part.
You want the video game to be more present as opposed to just the tee up for the porn.
Interesting.
Have you guys ever read the screenwriting book Save the Cat?
Yes.
Okay. Mm. The promise of the premise, right, is this thing where, what's his name, something Snyder, talks about when you're writing a movie, when you're watching a movie, what an audience wants at a primal reptilian level, at some level, is the promise of the premise to be fulfilled. I went to this movie to see this thing.
Yes.
If that doesn't happen in the movie, I'm not going to like the movie on some level.
Sure.
And I think both of these videos don't live up to the promise of the premise, which is that they are supposedly involving video games. They're not.
Yeah.
It's not a genuine statement. So, yeah, I thought this was bullshit.
So what's the story structure that resolves that for you? Well, and then, by the way, this is fascinating. We're like talking about Save the Cat.
But it's true.
We're now at an intersection of all things in my life.
But again, getting back to full circle, what we were talking about at the very beginning, porn and video games, both being similar industries. One thing that video games have done is become an art form. Porn isn't there yet. It's not there yet. And one of the reasons is because of people don't take it seriously yet. Maybe it's getting there, but it's not on the same level as you're now seeing video games make people weep and feel these emotions like movies or books or songs. Mm-hmm. I don't know that porn is doing that yet. Maybe in the future, maybe they're headed there. Maybe certain people are.
Some people are making that. You know?
This is a rabbit hole we may not want to go all the way down.
Great. Yeah. And we don't have to. But my point is, the promise of the premise is So when you're asking what's the story structure, we're not even there yet. Because we have to involve a video game in a way that's not incidental or disposable.
But I mean, like, you want to see them, like, playing the video game throughout, or you want to be in a video game universe with the porn?
First of all, I don't want any of that stuff, because I'm not a big guy who, I don't like video games and porn for me, personally.
But what would fulfill the Save the Cat obligation to live up
in
to
this,
the premise?
For this video?
What's the title of the video again?
Video games and lesbian panty stuffing.
Then there's no, wait, there's no video game even mentioned in the title?
It says video games.
Oh, video games. Yeah. Okay. So first of all, specificity. Specificity. I love. So something about it being Animal Crossing, right? And Animal Crossing deals with you're an animal. So I think it should be something furry related, I would say.
Okay.
You know, maybe she's so into the game, right? She falls in love. I'm just spitballing, but falls in love with someone who's in the game. And now Tom Nook comes in, or whatever, somebody she loves in the game, and then she gets to live out her fantasy that she's lonely, she's living in her house, all she has, her only friend, is Animal Crossing in this thing, and then all of a sudden, that becomes made real, and she gets to live out her fantasy and be fulfilled by this thing that she's filling her life with, which is Animal Crossing. So, you know, I guess since it's lesbian, it would be a female character in Animal Crossing, but I would say this should be kind of a furry thing, right? What would you say?
I mean, I'm here for porn, so always the test is going to be different. I mean, like, I don't care about video games, so I'm not really the person to ask, because this isn't my search term, right?
Right, right.
Right, I mean, but funny how do we satisfy both the things we like? So what would you say from a porn perspective?
I mean, I would say from a porn perspective, I like when a porn sets up, like, a quick premise, and then it's an excuse for sex, so I actually like the conceit of something being, like, hey, disposable. You're doing something down. Else.
Yeah.
I'm going to be distracting enough
so that's great.
That we're going to fuck. So, like, the conceit of this is hot to me. And I also don't care about video games or Animal Crossing. So I'm like, by all means, put the game down.
Right.
Great.
Right.
And hang out with your partner, your friend, your fuck buddy, whatever the relationship presumably is here.
Yeah.
So I like the conceit. It wasn't tremendously hot to me, because I, like Rachel, was like, we need to talk about this if we had quality time. You know, like I had some element of that part of the like story of the setup of the porn didn't grab me.
Right.
But I do think the notion of me being busy with something and someone being like, hey, I want to fuck you, and I'm going to make you want to fuck me by like teasing you a little or like playing with your clit or whatever happens at the beginning between them. Like that's a fantasy of mine. Yes. That's a scenario I want to be involved in. For me, it would be me at my goddamn desk, like working on my laptop, and my partner being like, hey, maybe take a break. And me being like, oh, I really can't, babe. And that person being like, are you sure? Right.
To that point, I would have liked to see more of a struggle with this video.
Ah, yes.
You know, I would have liked to see it be like, she plays a little bit more and she's like, stop, you know? And then it's like,
got it.
Then there's more tension building. She really is like, I really want to play this game. And then it's like, she's so excited that she has to put it down.
I agree with that. It's sort of an easy fight here.
Yeah.
She kind of like, Alex puts it down pretty quickly. Yeah.
So from a porn perspective, it did fulfill the promise of the premise, because panty stuffing was in the title, which happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they got down, they got dirty, which was great and was what you guys were wanting in a way that you guys loved, because I guess what I'm hearing is you like the disposability of, oh, I'm putting something down, or, oh, stop, I've got to do this thing, and then, but I'm giving in and...
Yes. Well, yeah. With like better, stronger tension before the disposal.
Great. Yeah. So that's great. I love
we want tension, we want a relationship.
Yeah. We love tension, we love relationship. Okay, great. Yeah. So awesome. Mm-hmm. So there we go.
Mm-hmm. Let's move on to the... Oh, I wanted to move on to another video only because there's a tie together here. But if you were going to say something, Rachel, get it in there.
No, I just was going to say I love that there was like a little blooper at the end.
Oh, yes.
Bloopers.
Yes.
Oh, what was the... Oh, I mean, there after just, the credits, right?
Yeah.
This one. Yeah, this one. Because she's like, my hand is slipping or something.
There was like something where it just was cute, where it just like reminded you that like, this was something that was shot for us, the viewer, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And also, it was exciting to see some panty stuffing. It's not something that we've come across a lot on the show yet.
Yeah.
And I think it's definitely a kink that I know that Go Ask Alex is particularly into. Panties are hot. And I love over the panty stuff in general. So that was exciting for me, like the start of it. And then like using the fabric to like kind of like rub her clit and get her excited, and then to shove it in her and pull it out was hot.
Blay has a question.
Yeah.
Well, no, I just wanted to say something, which is... there was like two shots in this whole thing.
I know.
It was a lot. I mean, that's not... come on. What do we do? That's
she's is that good creator.
Filmmaking?
She's
is that
on
good
her
filmmaking?
Own.
Yeah,
is that
good film? Yeah, I know. But we've all got editing equipment. I'm so sorry. We've all got editing equipment, okay? We all have access to Premiere Pro, all that stuff. I don't agree that this was well shot or the production value was great. I don't agree with that. It was two shots.
Okay.
It was
fair enough.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah.
Putting it out there.
Fair totally. Perspective. Yeah. I would say this is a self-produced content creator, so it's the equivalent of like
you making
like
your own porn. Yeah.
You making your own porn. I think if she
Which
had,
is
like,
me reading
tried
quietly to myself with a
yeah.
single tear, that's my point.
Yes, yes. I think if she had like set up like multiple cameras and made this a whole thing, it's just a different category to me.
Right.
Like,
it's not amateur. It's not
yes.
amateur.
Yeah. There's a specific appeal right. for certain audiences of being like, oh, I'm just watching something raw, therefore it's real.
Yeah.
Okay. So if that's not your thing and you want to see like the scene, you want to see multicam stuff, you want to not break your eye line and like cut the yeah. shots and chop them together and make it feel highly produced, there is porn for you out there.
I'm
but
just
I think
saying,
this is a different genre.
I agree. I hear you. I agree. Yeah. I'm just saying I like things when they're done well. I just mm-hmm. didn't feel like this was done well. I think it's an easy out to say that she's just a single content creator because look up a site called YouTube.com where there are people alone doing insane, amazing things. Even something that's two shots could be done. I thought it just could be done better. Sorry.
Fair. All right.
Sorry. I'm just all saying. Right. That's an easy right. out to say she's alone because I don't agree with that because people who are alone can do stuff all the time. Okay. Second
right,
video. What do you got?
Let's move on. So
cheating wife take bro in law's cock. Cosplay. Little Holly Beth and Matt Black. The twist is that it's Princess Peach and Luigi.
Right.
Yeah.
Barely.
You have high standards. You have really high standards for both.
I'm sorry. I have standards. Did you see this video? They're not high.
So I'm curious about this one. This was going to be my segue into this. I'm curious, going back to the like premise question.
Mm-hmm.
You wanted the previous one to be like, oh, it's a fantasy of someone like engaging with an Animal Crossing character. Do you think that two fictional characters in a sort of self-aware parody kind of poking fun of themselves way, do you like the notion of two performers dressing up as characters and fucking?
Yeah.
Does that make good on the promise?
I thought the promise of the premise in the first one was that the video game was disposable in the video and not a critical piece.
Yes. Right.
I would say here, similar thing. And this is the thing. You bring up a good point about the self-aware parody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because seen through that lens, I'll allow it. Fine, I guess.
Yeah.
If we know we're being shitty, there's like, you know, you guys know the kind of comedy sketch where it's like, oh, stuff's going wrong. Uh-oh. And that's
yes,
the comedy.
Yeah. Yes.
So, and you know, that's kind of the meta level there. In this, trying to be shitty, trying mm-hmm. to make a bad parody, mm-hmm. then great. They did a great job if they're trying yeah. to make a bad parody.
Yeah.
It's just, first of all, I don't know. I think we need to paint the picture for the listeners a little bit.
Right, yes.
The costumes here are, first of all, no one's talking in any accent.
Yeah.
So Luigi, you
no
couldn't even do
no one's doing the voices.
Right.
No one's
yeah.
doing
well,
the
voices. She's kind of giving me a little Princess Peach vibe. She's giving me a princess. What?
Fine. I agree.
She's got like a little
I agree.
Can you come over? You know?
Great. I agree.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that was better than hers, but she's doing
yeah, way better, by the way. Way better. But also, like, so, I mean, how hard, like, fuck you. Like, you're Luigi. like you have a mustache. First of all, he's covered in tattoos.
Right.
So mm-hmm. taking me, you're not Luigi.
A. Also, important to note that that what he is wearing is, like, the hat, the mustache,
yeah.
upside down purposefully, presumably.
Yeah.
Presumably.
And a banana hammock, like a Borat-style
right.
Dick sling
lime
that goes
green.
All the way yeah. up to the shoulders, lime
so,
green.
And that is, I completely, exactly agree. It reminded me of just, this should have been, take off the hat, make it Borat,
right.
fucks Princess Peach. Like what, like you're not doing the thing. Like it was ridiculous. And
but,
and it, what?
I was just going to say, but it lent into the porn trope of being like, can you come over and fix my sink?
Right. And so that's the thing. And Rachel, I wanted to ask you, like, if we're now treating this, which is something I didn't think about, as a self-aware porn parody, is that when you watch this, did you see it as a self-aware right away?
Yes.
Or did you think like me, oh, this is like absolute garbage?
No, I knew it was self-aware the second that he showed up as Luigi and he was being so genuine. You know,
yes,
like because he wasn't, like he was like, all right, I mean, what did you want me to do? You know, like that to me, read as self aware. Like he was like, being like, yeah, for sure. I mean, there's something else broken. Yeah, I mean, yeah, like great. And then she was like, will you fuck me? And he was like, well, thank you for being honest. You know, like I was like, they're 100% leaning into the parody, or it was actually the comedy of it.
His costume for me that I was like, yes, this is self-aware because it's so ridiculous.
Yes.
And it's not like we're trying to be faithful and we're like really trying to do Luigi and the princess. Like, because it was like, hey, this is fucking ridiculous.
Yes.
Got it.
That's where
drawing
the self-awareness comes in.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
That's where it becomes like camp because it's, you know, like so over the top.
I see. So, you know what speaking to you too about this, I'm starting to realize this is a similar experience to when I saw my first Jackson Pollock painting. And I was like, what is this terrible shit?
Yes.
Like this is total. But
I could do this. This is finger painting. Whatever.
It's garbage. Right. Yeah. I think, and I just, my friend who is smart explained to me, well, in context.
Right.
Like Basquiat or whatever, like in the context of art history, here's why Pollock, here's why these people are great. Mm-hmm. So I think I just don't watch enough porn to have picked up on the fact that this is kind of layers of self-commentary on the industry, on the history of porn videos and all those things. So I think I would file this under, I just didn't get it.
Yes, I think, and I will say this was not a hot video to me.
No.
Like I do not go in for parody or for or porn that's even too self-aware unless the sex is hot enough that like once we've abandoned the conceit of the video, I'm like,
the sex
was
just
dive into this.
You gotta have hot fucking. Promise
you
of the
gotta premise. You gotta have hot fucking.
The sex was just fine. Yeah,
it was. Yeah, the sex was fine. But like having lived in the porn universe for so long, so intensely, I think Rachel and I have become aware that like the performers themselves know that porn is ridiculous.
Right.
And yet they have to engage with this market. And a lot of times they make stuff that they're like,
this
is clickbaity and dumb, and it's going to bring in new subscribers that are going to stay for like whatever their proclivity is. Like this is almost as much for attention as it is for anyone with a Mario or a Luigi kink.
Honestly, it worked because afterwards I clicked on her profile. I looked to see what other videos she had, and I looked at his stuff because I was like, what else does he have? Mm-hmm. So it did. It worked. It got my attention. You know,
that's interesting. So do you guys feel like, so kind of what I'm hearing is like, in a certain way, performers are almost trolling their audience, or not trolling maybe, but provoking their audience into a reaction.
Yeah.
Because they are so self-aware and they know how the industry works and
porn is as much or more than any other industry, a saturated market where you got to stand out and you got to constantly do something that's going to like grab some attention.
Find your niche.
Find your niche or your market. Like there's also like, there's a lot of porn performers you talked about that do like really specific cosplay stuff to go back to like video game adjacents where they like invest so much money in like perfectly executing the costume. And that's like a specific kind of porn for a specific audience.
We saw it in the other video with panty stuffing, you know, like you have to have something in your video. Otherwise, like, what? How are we gonna? How are we even in this podcast?
How is it different?
You know?
Yeah.
Exactly. How are we even gonna find it? You know.
So here's a question. Like, so you guys have seen The Devil Wears Prada, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Of course.
Okay. and so you know that very famous speech that Meryl Streep gives
about
the blue sweater.
Yeah. Right.
So and how, and for listeners who haven't seen that movie, first of all, see it. It's great. But second of all, this speech basically says, so Anne Hathaway is there and she's this intern at basically Vogue under Anna Wintour clone. Mm-hmm. And she's kind of scoffing at the idea of fashion.
Yeah.
Okay. And Meryl Streep is saying to her, okay, well, you see that blue sweater you're wearing? Why does fashion matter? You see that blue sweater that you picked off a rack at Target? And goes through the designer who started this cerulean blue and how it trickled down into all these lower markets, ending up as a big baggy blue sweater that Anne Hathaway bought. She's like, yes, this is why it matters. You're being influenced it without even knowing.
Exactly.
So what would you guys say, who are some people or some companies in the porn industry right now who are creating the prototypical whatever blue sweater that then trickles down to become this kind of a video. Well, where would you say, where's the mouth of the river?
It's hard because, I mean, obviously MindGeek has
the source of the stream.
MindGeek has such a monopoly on yeah. that.
You know? And I would also say it's almost a different model because fashion is a specific model where, like,
it comes from artists.
Artistry
creators.
Dictates
yeah.
and trickles down. In this case, this is not an artist or, like,
no,
luxury driven art form. It is much more consumer driven and much more, like,
so
marginalized.
So it's fashion.
Yes. No, but, fashion is absolutely. Wait, hold on. Let me finish this thought. So, the thing with porn that we constantly talk about is this, like, chicken and the egg thing. Like, what's happening in the zeitgeist finds its way into porn.
Interesting.
There are trends in porn that, like, become popular in sexuality because we're all sort of, like, watching this porn and be like, suddenly choking's really yeah. big. Did James Dean Whoa. Do that? Or yeah. did we, like, as a society, get into rougher sex and see it in other elements of the culture? And I think there's this back and forth that's really unique to porn that is
yeah,
different. That you see some to a certain extent in fashion, like, there are people from the bottom up. Like, there is fashion that borrows inspiration from general zeitgeist shit, or that's like, right. ooh, this is trash. This is grunge high fashion, right. like that kind of exchange. But there's less like a governing body or like trendsetters. There certainly are like studios that like put stuff out. Like, there was one specific guy who saw bukkake porn in Japan and was like, I'm going to be the guy that does this in America. And they became a huge bukkake studio.
Right.
Yeah. So are things like that? But right now it's hard to say like who's setting those trends, because it's all stepsister shit. You know, like
right,
it's all
yeah.
these like
and,
big
and,
massive
but again,
trends.
Yeah, it's like, but that's stepsisters and step siblings came because, you know, they had to make ads. They're making like these tiny little couple of seconds long ads on Pornhub. And to get like a good, concise relationship storyline, a stepsister is something that people can click on and be like, I know what that is. I'm interested in it. And so then that snowballed. And now that's why, like, you know, step-sibling porn is so massive.
Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. You know, I would actually say that's fascinating. I didn't know that. That's fascinating. But also, I would say, Laura, I would say that all art, I would argue all art has that back and forth with pop culture.
100%.
But I and as we're talking about this, I'm maybe realizing that with porn, it might be so much more evident or clear because the life cycle is so quick. Like with something like a book or movies, like I had this discussion on my live stream, which is, and I we're not going to go down this rabbit hole, but something like 9/11 or something like Trump, like a wound that happens to the collective consciousness comes out later in pop culture. You see it then as people make sense of it in movies and all this other stuff. And you see how we're all, as artists, processing this big event that happened to all of us. Like, for instance, the pandemic. Obviously, next 5-10 years, we're going to see a lot of art come out of the pandemic that, you know, in whatever ways. But it's interesting because porn is so quick that it can happen immediately. Something can happen and then boom. Oh my God, now here's the whole thing. Kind of like you were saying earlier about how on Mother's Day, there's Mother's Day porn or whatever.
Exactly. Yeah.
And so I think we're seeing this ebb and flow and this kind of influence back and forth so quick because the life cycle is so
I think that's a really solid point. Like, trending is more apparent because it can respond so quickly.
Right.
And it also is this like concentrated over the top expression of anything in the culture, whereas like it's harder to track like Cerulean Blue trickling down.
Yes.
It's pretty clear to be like video games are popular. Because this video, like these characters are popping because this video game just came out.
Right.
And we are reacting in the moment to this huge cultural moment, you know? That
totally.
I think that absolutely tracks that porn.
Yeah, that's cool.
Is this like hyper concentration of humanity almost of like anything happening in any culture worldwide.
Yeah, and reflection of pop culture and really who we are inside. Live, laugh, love, guys. Live, laugh, love. Waiting for that live, laugh, love porn. Somebody got to make that shit. I bet there is
Chuggy porn.
Porn.
It's out there. Chuggy
what
porn.
Is it?
Chuggy porn. We should do that. Chuggy's like how Gen Z insults us elder millennials.
Yeah. It's a nicer form of basic. It's like Midwest.
And what, say it again.
Chuggy.
Chuggy.
C-H-E-U-G-Y.
And what does that mean?
It just means like it means
it's
the
like
new iteration
of
pumpkin
basic.
Spice lattes Chuggy. And Ugg boots. It's like a new, it's like the next insult for a specific generation.
Yeah.
And
it
like the basic
like
form of them.
like yeah. a candy, like a jujube or
yeah.
a
similar.
Sounds cap. Tasty.
Yeah, know? It's honestly. Why not? Yeah, it sounds good.
Well, anything wow. else to say about Princess Peach and Luigi? Or
other than the deconstruction of all pop culture, it seems right. like a lens of pornographic films. No, I have nothing more to say. I have nothing more to say on that. And okay. I'm sorry for being a chuggy. What is it?
Chuggy.
Yeah,
you did
sorry
right.
for being such a chuggy, or a chew, as we call them.
I think it goes without saying, but I know the answer to this question, but we like yes. to wrap up episodes with, are either of these going in your spank bank, Blay?
No. Absolutely not.
And just out of curiosity, really quick, could you just tell us what your search term is?
I was going to ask the same thing. Like, what is in your spank
yeah,
bank?
Yeah, what do you like to
search for?
Because
we can also slide
for?
You, like, a better recommendation.
Oh.
So that, as a tip for doing the show. Thank you.
I like deep existential postmodern, why are we all here? You know, the pressing of years of piling up upon us. So I guess crush porn, but okay. existential crush porn. You know, like
you
know, if the big lady vampire was like a life panic moment I felt in my life, there we go.
Okay. There's you can good actually find a like lecture debate with like Zizek on Pornhub. That's literally
wow.
just like an academic debate that somebody uploaded to Pornhub so it wouldn't be taken down from YouTube. So maybe that's what I'll send you later.
There yeah. we go. Do it. yeah. I'm very into, yeah, I love poetry and existential conversations about bullshit.
Okay.
And yeah.
Maybe some hysterical literature, Rachel. Maybe
oh,
that.
Yeah, maybe that.
What is hysterical
yeah.
literature?
It's a channel where hot women and sex workers and performers read literature, like they read it aloud, and you just see like, them sitting at a table, and then they are stimulated by a vibrator underneath.
No, it's going to be the video game thing again because I love books. It's the
you
same
want
thing.
Okay, but when
it's
you want to,
it's the same thing as video games.
Off,
don't make books
Blay.
Disposable.
Blay, I should have seen that coming.
Fucking bust a nut. What do you?
I don't have guys. I should have started with this, but it's just all smooth down there. It's just like a Ken doll, and it's plastic, so I don't know.
You're Ben Affleck
and
Matt Damon in that. What was it called? Dogs, angel. It had it was about angels and dogma.
Dogma.
Why did I think it was about dogs? Obviously,
spoilers.
Dogma
hello,
makes
spoilers. but no, thank you, ladies. This was right. fantastic.
And thanks
a
for
great
coming
combo.
On.
And
thanks
I learned so chuggy.
You did.
And,
you learned
about,
a lot. I think.
I learned
actually.
A lot. It's great.
Yeah.
It's fantastic.
As did we.
We lived. We laughed. And dare I say,
we loved.
We loved
just a little bit. And Blay, before we sign up, did you want to plug anything? You want to drop your podcast just so people are reminded where to find you and what you're doing?
Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, I do a video game podcast where we don't talk about porn called Good Game, Nice Try, and a podcast called Hear Me Out, where I just argue with one of my friends. And then, you know what? And you guys should come on some streaming thing. I'd stream every night at blay.tv. So there you
ooh,
go. Come on.
Okay.
Pop on
ooh.
By.
Wow.
Little
dedicated
twitcheroo.
URL. Love it.
Yeah, you know it.
Thanks so much again for coming on, Blay.
Thanks, guys.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to Girls on Porn. You can find us on Instagram at Girls on Pern, that's porn without the O, on our Twitter at GOP the Podcast, on our website at girlsonporn.com, and also on our Patreon, patreon.com/girlsonporn, where you can watch this whole episode.
Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe if you haven't already. If you want to leave us a little 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, feel free to drop your Instagram handle and we'll tag it and thank you, expressing our abundant gratitude.
This has been Girls on Porn, the only GOP that's actually good.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.